Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
I want to read a scripture, section of scripture. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but I'll give you the gist of it. It's in Joshua, the 24th chapter. And this is after Joshua is very, what's the correct way to say this? He's old. I don't know any other way to say it. He's old. He's about to be at the end of his leadership in Israel, and a very important thing takes place. In fact, it is so influential, I think, in Israel, that for years after his leadership is over with, the effect of that leadership still carried on for a while with Israel. But as people go, one of my famous irrefutable truths of life is this: people will do whatever they want to do. So it doesn't matter if you have great intentions, doesn't matter if you vocalize all kinds of great ideology and so forth, you're still going to do what you want to do. That's why some people will make commitments to Christ and then never fulfill them. You follow what I'm saying? And so in Joshua's day, and I'm going to try to make this as brief as I can, in Joshua's day, he's getting older, he's about to sort of pass the baton and leadership on to the children of Israel. And some interesting things are available for you to glean from as I read just a little bit. But I want to get you the gist of it. Beginning in the 24th chapter, I want to begin just a few verses. Then I'm going to jump to the two main verses I want to read for you. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel, verse 1, chapter 24, all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel and for the heads and for the judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. So it's a spiritual event. We're coming before God, and the leader of the children of Israel is about to share something with them. And I want you to notice something. You may have never noticed this, but I want you to notice this. And Joshua said unto the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." Notice the change in tense. Throughout the book of Joshua, it's from one particular point of view, telling the historical things that went on in Joshua's life and so forth. It's kind of a recording, chronological recording. At this point, he has all the leadership of Israel, and he's giving a speech to them. And as I would share with you, I would say, the Lord wants to do this in your life. The Lord wants to do that in your life. But Joshua begins talking to the children of Israel by prophecy. He's prophesying. He's not saying, our God has been good to us. He brought us through the Red Sea, and he brought us through the wilderness, and we survived, and he brought us to the promised land. He's saying that, but not in his tense. God is speaking through Joshua as he shares with the children of Israel. And he goes on to say this: "And Joshua said unto the people, Thus saith the Lord, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah and the father of Abraham and the father of Nachor, and they served other gods. And I took," notice the tense, "I took," it wasn't Joshua that did it, God did it. So God's speaking through Joshua. "I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave him Isaac, Jacob, and Esau," and so forth. I want to halt right there because I could read all through that whole thing, but it's pretty much, and you need to read it to get the benefit of it. What he really does is he recreates the history of Israel as God speaks through him. God reminds the children of Israel. All the leadership are there now. And he's reminding all of the leadership what God has done. And it's God speaking to the children of Israel, which takes on a great bit more force, because it's a good thing to remember what God did for you, but it's another thing for God to tell you and remind you, using Joshua to speak to it, or myself, or anyone else in any particular thing, and speaks directly to you. It takes on greater power and impact in your life. And I want you to turn now to the 14th and 15th verse. He's given this great speech. He's talked to them, "Hey, listen, you don't serve the gods that were on the other side of the flood. Don't serve any other gods. Serve our God, the only true and living God," and so forth. And he's already recounted all the victories and the blessings that God has done for the children of Israel and have been visible and seeable and knowable. We remember when we came through the Red Sea. We remember when we crossed the Jordan River. We remember when we occupied the Promised Land. Now listen to what it says in verse 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord. That's just good advice to modern day Christians or Old Testament people. That's just good advice. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and obviously in the truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, which God, of course, had already told him he gave them to him. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You choose this day who you will serve. The gods of your fathers when they were not following God and not serving God but following other gods? Or will you serve the Lord? You choose. If it seems evil to choose the Lord, then choose something else. There's several things that are so powerful there. I wish I could spend a lot of time on them. But there's three things or four things that I want to share with you that are important that Joshua is standing upon as solid ground and principle. The first thing that he stands upon is the fact that he had good mentorship. He's confident of his own leadership. He's old now. He's already led them. He's fulfilled the will of God. He's done what God has asked him to do, what Moses trained him to do. And he took over, and as for himself and his house, they're serving the Lord. So Joshua stands there with a full confidence that I was taught by the best. Moses led me. Moses mentored me, and as long as I supported Moses and I was in agreement with him and what God was saying, God brought deliverance. God fed us when there was no food. He gave us water when there was no food, and he gave us a promised land when we owned no land. And the second thing that he did is he also had confidence in his own personal leadership ability. He was mentored by the best, but he also had innate abilities of his own, just like you and I have. They have talents, and you can develop new talents like hula or whatever. But you have innate talents that God has planted in you and replanted or re-enhanced when you became a Christian. Just by nature, you have some ability. Joshua was very confident in his own ability to lead because he'd already led them so far. And another thing that I think is very important, if you're in any kind of leadership, and you will be, everyone will be at some point, whether it's a leader of a family or a leader or whatever, this is going to be one of the most important things for you as any kind of minister, any kind of a leader of any kind, is that your family is in unity with you. I'm going to be frank with you. I would have pastored this church about a year and a half were it not for my fact that my wife was with me and my family was with me, and they were willing to do whatever kind of sacrifice is necessary to try to do the ministry God had called us to do. And frankly, without your family being unified with you, you will be divided in all of your efforts for the kingdom. Am I making sense? So those are three things. And the fourth thing that he depended upon is the very thing that he was speaking with. The anointing of God had come upon him. And he was speaking with the authority of God to the children of Israel. And every Sunday morning when we gather here, whether I'm speaking or someone else is speaking, when we open up the Word of God and we begin to expound upon the Word of God and share what the meaning of it is and preach what God places upon our heart, I assure you it is the anointing of God that puts something in your heart from what is said from the pulpit. I encourage two people in prayer this morning to pay attention to this message because there's words in them, in this message, that is going to speak directly to them. And I want to encourage everyone here this morning. Before this message is over, God is going to speak to you. God is going to say something in your spirit. He's going to minister to you, and it may be a word like promises. And that's such a great illustration of how God prompts us and moves us and motivates us and anoints us. And so this morning, I would begin at this point, if you haven't already, to anticipate what's shared because God wants to speak to you. And I'm as serious as a heart attack. There's a word for you this morning in this message. And however God delivers it to you, I don't know. What it means in the context of what you're going through in your personal life, I don't know. I just deliver the news. I give to you what God shares with me. And I'm believing that God is sharing with me that we've been mentored by the best, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has touched our hearts. He has motivated us. He's directed us. He's anointed. He's given us power. He's given us family. He's given us a church family that's willing to stand together for greater things in Jesus Christ. This year, on purpose, is going to be the greatest year spiritually for this church. I've determined myself, and then this Daniel Fast, you'll be joining with us and being unified to accomplish a goal that I think God has laid on our heart. I think this is the year that we believe greater than we've ever believed. I think we're going to be intentional about believing greater than we've ever believed. I think we're going to be more effective in a greater way. I think we're going to be more a better church family in a greater way than we ever have before. I think the ministry of your life and my life is going to increase in ways that we never imagined. I believe that every year, and God has never failed me. I could give you story after story, year after year, of God visiting homes, God visiting people, God doing wondrous things in the midst of us. Some recognized, some not even recognized, but all powerfully brought about by the hand of God. When Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," that's a very definite choice. In fact, I'm telling you this morning, you need to make a definite choice. From this point on, this year is a new year before us. We have all the potential to achieve all we want to see and all that God wants to see in our lives, spiritually and otherwise. But we're focusing on our spiritual walk. We have the potential set before us. God has already placed in us the power of Jesus Christ. What we have received in eternal life and been empowered by the Holy Ghost and fire, God has given us the equipment we need to accomplish whatever God has called us to do. And I'm excited about that. I'm thrilled with that because I know what God has done for several years in preparation for where He wants to take us. And I'm confident that what He wants to do is build us up to a place where He can use us dynamically for the kingdom of God and for your own personal life to be developed and grown and strengthened. This is the first thing I think we need to be aware of this year when we begin our Daniel's fast. I just want to clarify for you, if you do commit to this and you stay faithful to this, I guarantee you God will bless you for that in ways that you've not imagined. But here's some things that I think you need to be aware of in the coming year. The first thing we need to be aware of and be focused on is learning to look. I know some of you know this. Some of this is basic Christianity 101. But here is something that I think we all need to do and especially should be an emphasis this year when we're thinking greater faith. I want to believe better than I'm, bigger, greater, whatever, however you want to describe it. But here's one of the first things, and that is this. We need to learn how to see the hand of God in our lives. Hey, that's simple, isn't it? But how often have we glanced or grazed over things that have happened, events that have happened in our lives? Oh, that's just life. That's a coincidence. That's just something that happens. This is because I did this, or this is because someone did that. And we begin to analyze and evaluate things in our lives on the basis of what we think and what we perceive. I don't know about you, but every time I begin to think and perceive on my own, I get in trouble. Amen? Especially in the area of spiritual things. So one of the things I think we need to do is, first of all, open our spiritual eyes and begin to look for how God is moving in our lives. We just assume God is moving. Of course He is. I'm a Christian. I'm seeking Jesus Christ. I want all that He has to benefit my life. I want to be pleasing to Him. I want to do great things for God. The reason great things are not done for God is because we've not recognized what He has already done in our lives. We've not opened up our spiritual eyes to see that, hey, He has delivered us through the Red Sea. He's delivered us through the wilderness. He's granted us an opportunity to cross the Jordan and get into a promised land. He's done all of that. We have eternal life. We have the promise of everlasting life. We have the promise of a place in eternity with Christ. We already have that. With that knowledge, it should be very easy for us to accept the power of God in our lives to achieve and accomplish great things for Jesus Christ. Open your spiritual eyes. There's more going on around you than you're aware of. You remember Moses, Aaron and Hur had to lift his hands and hold his hands. As long as his hands were up, they had the victory. When his hands fell, they lost the victory. So they had Aaron and Hur hold his hands up so the victory would be won completely. And he asked them, Lord, open up their eyes. And let them see that You are fighting with us. And that we have the victory already, though we're fighting the battle. That's just convoluted thinking. There's not a soldier alive that thinks he's won the battle until he wins the battle. Only Christians know they've won the battle before they fight the battle. Amen? Praise God. I'm going to start preaching like a black preacher. Because that means you've got to preach it back. You know, that's how they work it. See, everything that is in our lives, it has spiritual impact. It has spiritual meaning. You may think you just lost your wallet. Hey, there's spiritual meaning somewhere. I don't know where. It don't seem like it. But hey, somewhere there's something happening spiritually. Because everything that happens to Christians has spiritual weight and spiritual power. The second thing is, we need to be spiritually intuitive. We need to know what the Spirit is saying when He's saying it, and what He means by what He's saying when He says it. That's where there's a bit of a breakdown. God speaks to us. We think we're going to go be like Billy Graham. But God sometimes speaks to us to just talk to our neighbor, or do a good deed for someone, or say a kind word to someone. Now, am I making sense? The kingdom of God is much bigger than what we think it is. And so we need to become more aware, intuitive, of what this spiritual thing is happening to us and what God is saying to us. The third thing, we should live with expectation based on what God has already done in our lives. Faith grows upon faith. That's how faith grows. By experience. Every single experience we experience builds our faith. And as we build our faith, greater things are expected and greater things are accomplished. So we need to have great expectation. The fourth thing, we need to develop our discernment. We need to know it's God's voice speaking to us. Not just open our spiritual eyes and ears, but we need to be able to be sensitive to know who it is that's speaking to us. We were praying right here for Hero. The devil is talking to him. The devil is, it's on everybody. You all know this. Every Christian knows this. God is trying to speak positive things into our life, build us up, strengthen us, make us spiritually aware, wanting to do great things in our lives, and the enemy is doing just the opposite. His job is to try to destroy everything that God is doing in your life. All too often, we hear the voice of Satan louder than we hear the voice of God, because God is not going to be forceful. Why? Well, what did Joshua say? Choose you this day. Are you going to serve me? Okay, if you're going to serve me, this is what's going to happen. This is how I'm going to bless you. This is how I'm going to use you. This is what I'm going to accomplish with you. And what is Satan saying? He's saying, you can't do it. You're not experienced enough. You don't have enough talent. You don't have any personality. You can't speak. You can't sing. And so every effort the enemy makes is to destroy us and to destroy our walk in Jesus Christ. So we need to develop discernment. Who is speaking to me? The next thing we need to develop is that good listening skill, of course. The next thing, number six, is become familiar with the voice of the Lord. My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. All too often, Jesus' sheep ignore the voice. So often that they don't recognize it sometimes when He's speaking. Now, I'm using somewhat of metaphorical terminology here, but God literally, really does speak to us. Not shout at us, but He speaks to us. Speaks to our spirit, to our heart, to our mind. He motivates us by those very means to bring us to a place where we're receiving from the Lord on a continuous basis. Continually speaking to us, continually showing us the right direction to go, continually developing a relationship with us so that we recognize the voice of the Lord. And here's the purpose of God. Why does God do all these things? God is doing these things so that you will learn that God is God and that there is no limit to this God, that you can know Him deeper and deeper every day and never fathom the fullness of God. Never get it all. It'll take eternity, and you will still not know God. You will know much about Him, and you'll just have the rest of eternity to know that you're going to learn more about Him, that He's greater than we can comprehend, and yet He is knowable, and He is available, and He is then active in your life if you will let Him. So what is He doing? He's trying to get us to know that He's God. We who have become Christians know that. Second of all, to trust Him. Now, whatever happens in your life, great prayer Greg prayed this morning. I'm willing to accept whatever the outcome is of this diagnosis in my eyes. Well, blessed be the Lord, whatever it is. That's a perfect attitude. That's an attitude to see the impossible become possible. That's the attitude that opens up the portals of heaven and gets blessings poured out upon you. The attitude that, Lord, whatever you say, I'm going to accept that. I'm going to walk in that. However, I do have an avenue through Christ to have healing. I have an avenue through Christ. All things are mine through Jesus Christ. And so what's God doing? He's trying to get you to know He's God, trust that He's God, know that He's available, and be ready and willing to receive whatever He has for you. Every person is different. Y'all have different names. Y'all have different personalities. Y'all have different likes and dislikes. Y'all have all different backgrounds that has contributed to who you are and your thinking and your attitude and your personal convictions about life. All these things contribute to that. But it is God who motivates a great deal of that to develop you to be what He wants you to be. And with the attitude that, Lord, whatever you say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, that's a hard pill to swallow. But whatever, as Greg said, there's a new road to walk. And God's going to teach you to walk that walk because He knows that in your life, if you follow Him, He's going to take you places that you never expected to go, and you're going to meet people that you never expected to meet, and you're going to do great spiritual things that you never thought could happen in your life. God has been at great work, and I'm hoping that I'm encouraging you with this, that you can trust God. But here's the exclusive. You have to exclusively follow Jesus Christ. Not the gods before the flood, not the gods of the Amorites, not the gods of the Americans, not the gods of any other gods. You have to choose today to follow Jesus Christ exclusively. By the way, yeah, give God a hand for that. Exclusively, there are no other gods. And here's another thing we need to be thinking about doing. We got to start believing outside the norm. I don't know how you normally believe, but I want to challenge you this morning, especially during this Daniel fast time as a motivation for the rest of the year, but I want to encourage you to start believing outside the box that you've put around yourself. We all do it. We all put parameters around ourselves, and a lot of it has to do with our fears, our anxieties, our uncertainties, our insecurities. We build protective barriers around us. It's true if you're studying psychology or anything else, or especially spiritual things from the Bible, you'll discover that you have a tendency to protect yourself by putting up walls. So many walls sometimes that people, when they see you, don't even know you because you present yourself as something when that's not really what you are inside. Because you've built so many walls of protection. Why? Because you've been hurt. You've been wounded. You've been betrayed. And I just want to remind you, so did the Savior. The Savior experienced every one of these things and overcame them, went to the cross and beyond, so that you would be able to conquer it as well. So that you can drop the walls and let Jesus see who you are and let Jesus use you as you are. Amen? I remember a guy that was a demoniac. Jesus crossed the waters to get over there to the area of the Gadarenes. And He did it on purpose to meet one man. One man who was demon-possessed. The town was so plagued by him, they chained him up. He was so strong under the power of the devil that he could snap the chains. And he howled and he made weird noises in the graveyard. And anyone that came near were frightened to go anywhere near that. Jesus crossed the sea on purpose to get to this man so that He could deliver this man. Let me tell you something. God can't reach some people groups. He can't reach them unless He has a spark plug to put in that group. Everybody should know this, who doesn't. Every missionary knows that once you go there and introduce Jesus Christ, you want to win the indigenous people because they will win more indigenous people better than you can. You'll just be a holly. But wherever you minister, if you can win those to Christ, train them in Christ, they will be more effective than you because they're of that indigenous people. And the awesomeness of that is every soul they continue to win as a part of your ministry, which is what Emily shared with us this morning. And so he goes to the Gadarenes, delivers this guy of demons. And there's a lot of stuff that's where I can't get into, but and the crux of the story is that when Jesus leaves, he delivers this guy and he's headed back out. He's headed back home. And the demoniac wants to follow him. He's in his right mind. Oh, by the way, he's clothed now. And Jesus says, no. What? Where's the mentoring? Where's the pastoral care? Where's the visiting? Is Jesus not going to continue to visit him and visit him and visit him until he kind of gets his roots down in the faith? No. He tells him, go back and tell everybody what's happened to you. You won't have to say much. Just walk into town in the right mind and they'll know something's happened to you. The gospel message was not preached by Christ there. It was preached by the demoniac. That's what God wants from you. To get in the right mind so that he can use you and touch your friends and your family and your extended family on the job or wherever you go, to be able to be an influence, a positive, powerful, godly influence wherever you go. Make a difference because you're different. And when you come to the house of God to worship with us, dynamic things will happen because you've been obeying Christ. I'm telling you, God's getting ready to do something powerful this year in a great way in this church. So begin to believe outside the box. I used to call it being a faither, but we'll find some other believer name to give you. But if you can start believing outside the box, that which is outside the box will become reality and your box will grow. And you need to settle in your spirit that God is really leading your life with purpose. God is really leading your life. But man, I'm sitting here, I'm doing nothing. I just come to church every week. I don't seem to accomplish anything. My spiritual sensitivity is dulled. I'm not as close to God as I want to be. I'm not accomplishing the things I want to accomplish. I want to do greater things. I want to believe better. I want to be a better effective ministry for Christ. I want to do what God wants to do in my life because that's the only thing that really counts. How do I accomplish that? How does that? Because I'm always finding myself growing cold. I'm always finding myself feeling like I'm distant from God. I'm not doing the things that I know enrich my life. You've got to settle something in your spirit. God is leading you. I've said this 1,000 times. I'm going to say it one more time until somebody throws up. And then I'll think about it. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. He is leading you. He is directing you. Oh, he's not leading you to go out and get stoned and live a rebellious life. He's not leading you to do that. So if you're doing that, you might want to disregard the scripture I just gave you, unless you want to read it properly. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Our responsibility is to walk upright. God's responsibility is to lead us and order our steps. So trust me, if you're here this morning, it's because God wants you here. You're here because God brought you here. Oh, you could have stayed in bed and stayed at home and watched the Hawks got a bye this weekend. Never mind. I'm sorry about that. So let me finish the last two big points in this message as fast as I can so we can get out of here and find some food. How's that? Some real wonderful, vibrant lettuce. If you're going to open your eyes, your spiritual eyes, and look for the hand of God in your life and all these other things that I've shared with you along that line, then here's what you also need to do for your own faith's sake, is you begin to look for what God's proof, and your greater faith will grow from there. God builds trust by proving himself. How does he do that? He makes himself known to us. He manifests himself. He shows great power. In fact, the power that God shows is power that's not possible other than by the hand of God. There's no other power but the hand of God. Oh, and you can talk about atomic power and all kinds of power. Those are legitimate powers. But God proves himself by doing things that are impossible, that are not able to be accomplished by any human being. Only God can do these things. So we need to look for God. This is one of the coolest principles. And if you never get anything out of any of this message but this. This is an interesting principle. And I think he's going to do that this year in a greater... In fact, I'm predicting, I'm prophesying. that God is going to do this in your lives in a way that you've never expected it before. You've believed it, but I think he's going to prove himself this way. And how is that, Pastor? He's going to take the bad things in your life and turn them into good. How in the world does he, have you experienced, you know what I'm talking about? Have you experienced that? Where man, something just looked like it was the worst thing that could ever happen in your life, and yet out of that, God has turned that into something good. I know the men of valor on Saturday mornings have heard this so much that they're about to puke. I don't know. But it's true. I don't know how God takes horrible things in my life and somehow by trusting him with it and praying and asking God to help me, somehow he takes a bad thing and he turns it into something good. How does that happen? Let me give you an example. Drug addicts that get delivered. Bad thing, bad life, bad choices, life that was just doomed. God delivers them and takes that bad life and makes it a testimony that's worth sharing with people who need to know Christ that may need the same deliverance. He took a bad thing and made it good. How does he do that? I don't know, but that's what I'd be looking for this year. God, whatever bad things are going on in my life, things that have frustrated me, things that have overcome me, overwhelmed me, defeated my faith, defeated my confidence, made me stagnant in my faith, make me inactive in my faith, not doing what God wants. God is going to take all those bad things and turn it into something very positive and powerful in your life. And he's going to deliver you from those things in the process. That is just awesome, isn't it? He does that all the time. A lot of times he does it without you even asking it because he wants it in your life for you to walk in joy, not happiness. Happiness is fleeting. In joy, solid, storm, fighting faith and confidence and joy. Joy that takes you through the storm. Joy that takes you through the hospital experience. Takes you through the loss of a loved one. Takes you through all manner of things that happen to people. And he will turn it into victory. I don't know how he does that. But he does it. And if we start anticipating that, start looking for that, God is going to do that. It's the old Haman principle. You remember that? Guy that built what do you call those places you hang people? Anyway, one of those places. Thank you, gallows. Built a gallows to hang the Jews on. God works a wonderful miracle. And the next thing you know, the king recognizes what this guy's been up to, and he hangs him on his own gallows. Anticipate that. Let me give you a little bit of insight. I don't know how long you've been a Christian. Some of you I know have been Christians a good long time. But I don't know everybody's situation, so I'm just going to say this. One of the things that you need to realize as a Christian or any other, but especially as a Christian because it has spiritual impact, there are people who don't like you. Boy, the revelation just swept. Did you see the revelation just swept from the front to the back? There are people who don't like you, and they are devising schemes against you. If you've ever been in the corporate world, and you're a vice president, everybody beneath you wants to hang you, ruin you, destroy you, so they can have that position. Follow me? It's the same kind of principle. There are devices. There are plans, there are schemes that are going on against you. Some of you know what I'm talking about. In fact, that probably all of you know from one degree or another. But eventually, if you give it to God, and I assure you, if you give it to God, and you start following some of these other steps, you'll discover that they will get hung on their own scaffold. That the snares that they've set before you, they will fall in them. Isn't that I don't know why you're not running around this church with your hands in the air just screaming, ah, praise God. Because that is actually an awesome promise. If I stay faithful with God, do what God wants, he's going to keep me from those snares and that hangman's noose. It's a wonderful principle, and God has set it forth. So look for God to turn bad things into good and turn good things into greater things. And this is just, believe me, I wrote this before I ever heard Emily speak. But number three, he will keep his promises. This is a year of promise. This is a year when God is going to fulfill things. Make you aware of his goals in your life. If you never knew what God was trying to do with your life, this year is the year for God to reveal and show you that. And he wants to prove to you that he is your God. Make sense? I'm going to close with just a quick list of things to avoid in the coming year, okay? And listen carefully, because it's going to be good advice to you. Avoid anything that detracts you from greater faith. I'm not going to let anything stop me from achieving this goal. I want to have greater faith. I want to see God working in a greater way in my life. I'm not going to allow anything to detract me from that. God has given me authority and power. I can overcome the enemy by resistance. And I will achieve positive, powerful things in my Christian walk and have greater faith. Second thing, avoid anybody that is a naysayer or a gossip or is negative in any way. Now, I'm sure bad things happen, and as we share our prayer requests, you explain some of the details of the thing that may be negative that's happened in your life. But avoid anybody who says that you can't accomplish it. Anybody that says you can't do it. Anybody that speaks negative, or anybody gossips about somebody else that you know as a Christian. Gossip destroys, erodes, and kills people's faith. Hello? And I know that there's not a person in this church here that gossips. We're actually the most perfect church on the planet, so I just want to make that, if you're visiting this morning, we're perfect. We never do those kind of things. But listen to me. Negativism is anti-God. It is anti-Christ. It is anti-you. Negativism will tear you down faster, and naysayers will just pile on to prevent you from accomplishing the dream that God has planted in you. Fourth thing, avoid all critics. Avoid all critics. They're going to criticize you. There's going to be people that criticize you, but here's what the thing is about critics. They're dream killers. Critics are dream killers. And the other thing about critics, they never accomplishing anything in their own life. Hello? They don't want you to accomplish your dream because they've never accomplished a dream. And if you accomplish a dream, it will show them that they could have and should have, but didn't because they refused it. Hello? The quieter it gets, the more I know. Critics are dream killers. They destroy visions. They prevent God's work on every hand. So don't let anybody that criticizes you have any influence. In fact, don't hang out with anybody that criticizes you or anyone else. Fourth thing, avoid negative people. I'm not talking about critics. I'm not talking about those that may be trying to destroy your dream. I'm just saying don't hang out with negative people, period. Negativism is contagious. And negativism erodes faith. Hello? You want to walk close to God? Don't speak negative. Don't receive anything negative. Don't hang out with negative people. Hello? No, I know they're going to want to hang out with you. You know why they're going to want to hang out with you? You've got Christ in you and you're cool. That's all there is to it. And people, even though they're negative, want to hang out with cool people. That's just the way it is. But don't hang out with them. Give you an example. Drug addicts should never go back to their friends that do drugs. Why? It won't be long, you'll be doing them again. Alcoholics, don't hang out with the alcoholics. Don't go to the tavern. Don't listen to country music. No, I'm sorry. I know some of you like country music. Anyway, my point is don't go to any place that has negative influence on you, because you're going to get sucked into it. It's negative. And it is a dream killer, just like everything else, but it will destroy your ability to believe greater than where you are. You know what will be happening to you if you succumb to that negativism? You'll be always asking, why am I far away from the Lord? Why doesn't Jesus hear my prayers? Why am I not experiencing anything new in Christ? Why? Well, you're hanging around negative people. They talk you out of your faith. They talk you out of believing bigger and greater. So you can accomplish nothing. Hello? It really got quiet. I am closing with this. And so avoid hanging out with negative. And the very last thing I'm telling you, embrace the potential that God has set before us. He's given you a dream. Refuse to lose the dream. Refuse. Don't look at your circumstances now. Don't look what's happening in your life now. Don't look at the things that have brought you to a place that seems to be negative and unproductive. Forget all of that. This is a new year. This is a new start. We're beginning a new walk. I'm a brand new creature in Christ this year. And I intend to reach my potential. I intend to accomplish what God has set before us in the best way possible. Yeah, give God a hand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, I've gone over a few minutes, obviously, but anyway, I'd like you to stand with me and can close, because I am only closing once. Praise the Lord. God is so good, and we're just becoming aware this year, I think, that God is going to do and accomplish things that we never even imagined. I think we've had plenty of years of preparation. Plenty of years of believing and seeing God take us across the Red Sea, deliver us from the things that would keep us from God. We've seen it. Man, there's a guy standing right there. One guy right there. That he could give you his testimony and blow your socks off. And when he comes up for prayer, he comes up, I just want more of God. I want to live strong for Him. I want the power of God to help me overcome what the enemy's influence is. I want to be a victorious Christian. And I hope I'm not putting any different words in your mouth. I think that's the way he felt. We just prayed for him. God needs to make himself known to each one of us. Personally, you need to encounter God. I don't care if you've been a Christian 90 years. This year needs to be a new encounter. A new level, a new degree, a new height, a new greater whatever. I don't have a slogan for you, but I'm telling you. I intend with all my might and power to get so close, near God, hear God, see God, be aware that He's God, to where it transforms me. And I've been transformed Christian for years, but I want a new transformation in my life. So if I start running around the church screaming, don't be afraid. Just me trying to get greater faith, all right? But we want God to have His way. I want God to slay people in the Spirit. I want blinded eyes opened. I want souls saved. Amen. Good goal, huh? Not impossible. We will accomplish it for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, it's a brand new year. We're so excited. Lord, we always start out really good. We got this great, we're going to do great things for Christ. And then along about February, we start figuring out how in the world we're going to make it through the end of the year. But Father, You know our hearts. And You know what You've placed on our hearts. And we want to finish this year well. We want to be able to recount at the end of this year that we have done much for Jesus Christ. And our faith has increased. And His presence has been more saturating and more powerful and more obvious to us. And that You have manifest Yourself in so many wonderful ways in our lives. Father, we want to see Your hand work in obvious, glorious ways. So, Father, we yield to You. Ask You to lead and order our steps. We'll obey You. And we'll do what You ask us to do without problem. But, Father, we need You to guide us and order the steps. Tell us where to step and where to go. And we'll obey You. And I pray that prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who we serve exclusively. Amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to do something. You may find this happening more and more. Something was just prompted on my heart just now. Okay, if you can accept this by faith. I want you to put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. And I want you to do what you've seen other people do and preachers do and all that stuff. I want you to open up your spiritual ears to hear. And I want you to pray for some of you two people beside you, some of you one. But I want you to pray for them. And I want you to pray for them in kind of an objective way. I know you may be husband and wife or whatever, or whatever your relationship might be. You may just be a close friend or just another church member. But I want you to pray as if you were, not that you could be, Jesus Christ praying for someone. Does that make sense? I want you to pray for the person next to you, even if it's your husband, even if it's your wife. I want you to pray for them as Jesus would pray for them. And I want you to pray something positive in their life. And while you're praying, you might have a word like promises dropped into your spirit. Speak that word to them. I don't know what it is that God may use you for, and He may not use us all that way, but I want you to pray as Jesus would pray for each other. And I'm going to have a last prayer. But I want you to pray for the person next to you that God would fulfill His great will in them. That He would just use them more than He's ever used them before. Can you pray that way? And just release into their spirit positive things. I don't want a negative word thought. I don't want a negative thing spoken. All positive power words into each other's life. Can you do that? Father, right now, in final conclusion, I guess, of this service, I'm just praying for everyone that's in this congregation to hear the voice of God speaking to us. And as we pray for one another this morning, I'm just praying that You would speak to us, to speak a word or speak something into each other's lives, something positive, something powerful. Even if you don't know that person at all, speak something positive into their life. Father, I pray for victory in areas that seem to defeat us the most. I pray victory over sins that beset us. Father, I pray victory over situations and relationships that really need to be solved and resolved. Father, I pray for people on the job that their job would go smooth, that they'd be promoted and blessed. And Father, I just pray a general blessing over everyone. Positive things happening, power things happening, faith things, greater faith things happening in everyone's life, I pray. Let it begin this afternoon. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said something positive. Amen.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.